الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue, my brothers in Islam, in our discussion on the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the light of the aqeedah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. This is because the Muslims don't agree, unfortunately, they don't agree about what we believe concerning Allah. Which is something very problematic and it's sad that the object of worship which we have is not something that we actually agree on, alaykum salam, in terms of who He is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though there's no excuse for that. I mean, this is the case, but it's not justifiable. Because the Quran and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Sahaba are clear in terms of how they understood the names and attributes of Allah. What happened afterwards was based on integration with philosophy. Greek philosophy and other kinds of philosophies, some Christian conceptions of God, some Jewish conceptions of God, some Hindu and Buddhist conceptions of God, all these came together and people started formulating new ways of believing in Allah. Not the way of the righteous predecessors, not the way of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And this is the most amazing thing is this, on one of these websites, one of these wicked websites. Remember the hadith we discussed on the hadith of Al-Jariya, the slave girl, in Sahih Muslim, that Prophet ﷺ asked her, "Ayn Allah? Where's Allah?" And she pointed, you know, to the heavens, and she said, "Fi sama," Allah is above. And he said, "Who am I?" And she said, "You are the Messenger of Allah." Thereupon he said, "Let her free, set her free, she's a believer." They actually have a twisted interpretation of this hadith. I don't know how they were able to manage that. But they're saying that she really doesn't mean that. And he really doesn't mean where's Allah. He means, you know, the status of Allah. And she means that the status of Allah is high, just like the sky is above. I mean, something that you can't even digest. You cannot really accept it. Because it's so subliminal. They make the message so deep that it almost means that the Quran and the Sunnah are tricking us. They don't really guide us. You know, they have some face, front, and then the depth and the deep understanding is for the Sufis. For the people who are super special. But the average Muslim should not be able to understand the Quran and the Sunnah. This is nonsense. This is nonsense, because we know إن هذا القرآن يهدي التي هي أقوم. Verily this Quran guides to that which is more straight. This is a beautiful ayah. Anything which is straight, the Quran will guide you to something that is even more straight. Then they say, "Wallah, but this and that, that ayah doesn't mean that, and that ayah doesn't mean that." And you read this information, you say, "Subhanallah al-Azim." Wallah, you don't believe a Muslim would write something like this. But this is the fact. This is what's out there in the world. This is what's on the internet. This is what's on the books. This is what's in the books. The people who believe correctly are a minority today. The majority don't know what they're believing. They pick it up, you know, bits and pieces from whatever. They watch something on this TV channel and they read something in that book and that article, and then they learn about Allah from unreliable sources based on, you know, deviant understandings of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah has blessed us. I'm supposed to have glasses, right? Yeah. Okay. I left them over there. No, not you, Sheikh. No, Tamat. No, wait. Did I? Something along the lines that Allah has blessed us, right, by allowing us to learn the authentic belief system. And the beautiful thing about it, that it's very logical. There's no, subliminal meanings. Furthermore, it is in agreement with the belief system of all of the ulama of the ummah, with the exception of a minority. Those who didn't really have this belief system that were known among the ulama of the ummah are a minority. The vast majority, which includes the four imams, which everybody claims to follow, the four madhahib, which everyone claims to follow, Imam Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasai, Abu Dawood, these ulama of hadith, other fuqaha, all of them agree on this. What we're learning, this is agreed upon. The ones who didn't have it are a few of them, which we will not mention their names now, because it makes no difference to us at this point. But alhamdulillah. So we're learning the authentic material, so we need to understand it correctly. So we can be upon the correct belief system, and so will be our children, our families and societies, and everyone who gets in contact with us So we will guide them inshallah by Allah's will and leave. طيب, we had been dealing with the idea of the fact that Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we are in a balanced position, wasat, between all of the various groups. The same way Islam is like in a balanced position in comparison to all the other religions. Remember we mentioned the Jews and the Christians and how they're extreme in both ends, and we are in a balanced position. Now, قال المؤلف رحمه الله الأصل الأول عفوا باب الأسماء والصفات. The first category of discussions wherein we are in a balanced position is concerning Allah's names and attributes. أسماء وصفات. قال المؤلف رحمه الله فهم وسط في باب صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى بين أهل التعطيل الجهمية وأهل التمثيل المشبهة. The author is who? Who's the author of the book? Who's the author of the book? Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Come on, brothers. And who did the sharh? Shaykh Al-Faymiyyah. طيب. The muallif, the author said, may Allah have mercy on him, they are, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, are in a balanced position in the chapter, or let's say in the understanding of the names and attributes of Allah, or in the attributes of Allah, between Ahl Al-Ta'til Al-Jahmiyyah. Jahmiyyah is a group. In English, by the way, just for your da'wah terminology, whenever you want to convert an Arabic word, which is the name of a group, into English, you add at the end, you know, I-T-E-S. Jahmites. Mu'tazilites. Shiites. And the list goes on. It's easy, right? Anytime you come up with a group word, you want to make it in English, just add the ites at the end, and you got an English word for you there. So the Ahl al-Ta'til are who? What is Ta'til, ya Shaykh Muhammad? Abdul Majid? Denial. Barakallah feek. And Jahmiya, Jahmites. Because of Jahm. This is the man who they followed, and his story had been discussed previously. So the people of denial, the Jahmites. Wa Ahl al-Tamthil al-Mushabbiha. The people who resemble or liken Allah to His creation. These are the people, the tamthil, those who say that Allah is like that. And they refer to something in the creation. And they claim that Allah is similar to His creation in these particular areas. Very dangerous. The Shaykh says, في الشرح هذاني طرفاني متطرفان. Very nice. أهل التعطيل الجهمية وأهل التمثيل المشبهة. These are two, let's say radical. متطرف is someone they say radical, right? Fundamentalist. These are two radical extremes, groups. The people of denial, the Jahmites, and the people of Tamthil, the Mushabbiha, those who say that Allah is like His creation. فَالْجَهْمِيَّةِ يُنْكِرُونَ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِّ بَلْ غُلَاتُهُمْ يُنْكِرُونَ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَيَقُولُونَ لَا يَجُوزُ أَن نُثْبِتَ لِلَّهِ إِسْمًا وَلَا صِفَةً. عجيب. The Jahmites, they deny Allah's attributes. They deny Allah's attributes. Allah is not merciful to them. He's not loving. He's not forgiving. He's not all-powerful. All of the attributes of Allah, they say no. We cannot affirm this to Allah. And you will see why. And rather the extreme among them, they even deny Allah's names. Even the names of Allah that we have in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. They say no. No, we cannot attribute these names to Allah. You see their rationale. Or if we can call it rationale. They're irrational. لِأَنَّكَ إِذَا أَثْبَتَ لَهُ إِسْمًا شَبَّهْتَهُ بِالْمُسَمَّيَاتِ أَوْ صِفَ شَبَّهْتَهُ بِالْمَوْصُفَاتِ. They say it is not permissible to affirm a name or an attribute to Allah. Because if you affirm a name, then you are likening Allah to things which are named. And if you affirm an attribute, then you are likening Allah to things which are described. And so, because now see, they're doing tanzih. They're supposedly trying to negate imperfection. So they go to the extreme that's saying, okay, if I can say that Naif is Rahim, and this can be used, by the way, for a human being. Does anyone know the evidence? What's the evidence that you can describe a human being with the quality of Rahim?
No, no, no. What's the evidence that I can say that someone is Rahim? Because Rahim is the name of Allah, right? Can you call a person? Can you say that he's a Rahim as a quality, as an attribute? What's the evidence? In the Quran, Sunnah. You can't be giving someone Allah's name without an evidence in the Quran or the Sunnah. Surah Tawbah. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. يا شماعة الخير. There has a messenger has come unto you from among yourselves. He is keen over you, concerned that you'll be afflicted with any difficulty. بالمؤمنين, to the believers, رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ, full of compassion, merciful. So who did Allah describe? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then it's okay to say that someone is Rahim. But Ar-Rahim, no. That only belongs to who? To Allah. Because Alif Lam is now the definite, the most merciful. And in the ultimate sense, only Allah is the most merciful. Someone can be very merciful, but not the most merciful. So that's the difference over there. So they say, if you say Allah is Rahim, and you can call someone Rahim, then you are likening Allah to His creation, then you cannot call Allah Rahim. This is the rationale. If you say Allah has the quality of Rahmah, and a person may have the quality of Rahmah, and you affirm the quality to Allah, then you are making Allah's quality like that of the creation, then you cannot call Allah Rahim, or you cannot describe Allah as being Rahim. These are Muslims. Well, if the scholars still can, you know, consider them among the Muslims, that's none of our business. But this is what they're trying to teach. Now, does anyone like to digest that kind of information? I don't think so. It's very difficult to swallow that. Because that will make the Quran and the Sunnah of no value. Everything that Allah said at the end of the ayat, according to them, you can neither describe Allah with them, nor can you call Him by these names. What is left? Subhanallah al-Azim. Ajeeb, ajeeb, ajeeb. إِذَنْ لَا نُثْبِتُ إِسْمًا وَلَا صِفَةً. We do not affirm a name or an attribute. وَمَا أَضَافَ اللَّهُ إِلَى نَفْسِهِ مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ فَهُوَ مِنْ بَابِ الْمَجَازِ. And whatever name Allah called Himself with is only metaphorical. Is only metaphorical. It's a metaphor. It's not real. It's not real. وَلَيْسَ مِنْ بَابِ التَّسَمِّي بِهَذِي الْأَسْمَاءِ. Not that Allah is really calling Himself by these names. Now these are one. These are who? The Jahmites. You need to remember this. And among the Jahmites, the general quality of Jahmites is they accept Allah's names, but they deny Allah's attributes. But among the Jahmites, the extreme ones, who deny both the names and the attributes. So not every time you hear Jahmites think that they deny names and attributes. The asl, the principle is that they deny the names, affirm the attributes. Oh, I'm sorry. They deny the attributes and affirm the name. But the extreme among them, those who went to extremes, they deny everything. The other ones are more, you know, I guess they're more logical. Because if you deny the name of Allah in the Quran, then you have disbelieved in the Quran in a sense. So they know they couldn't deny the name of Allah. So they kept the name. They say you can call Allah Ghafoor, but you cannot say that He's Ghafoor. As a quality. Because again, they fall into the same trap that they're afraid they're likening Allah to His creation. Alaykum salam, faddal. Tayyib. والمعتزلة. Now the other extreme are the who? معتزلة. How does that become in English, ya Mayrook? معتزلة. Doesn't that sound nice? The معتزلة. Alright, good. I think everyone got that English lesson. You will not find this in the grammar books, by the way. والأشعري عفوا والمعتزلة ينكرون الصفات ويثبتون الأسماء. On the other hand, the معتزلites, as opposed to the جهمية, they deny the attributes and affirm the names. They deny the attributes, affirm the names. Hold on, yunkiruna sifat? No, okay. The Jahmites and the Mu'tazilites are here in the same category right now. We will see the other, the Ash'ariyah, the Ash'arites, are the ones who affirm the names of Allah, and they accept only seven qualities. The Ash'arites, they affirm the names of Allah, but in terms of qualities, they believe in only seven. That leaves how many out? How many out? If they believe in seven, how much are they denying? How many are they denying? 90? You guys are tripping, man.
Bob. Wrong answer. Next.
Good one. Remember, ya akhwan, the names of Allah, the ones we know are 99. There are more. As in the hadith, in the dua, بِكُلِّ اسْمٍ سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكَ. I call upon you by every name you have called yourself. And then he mentioned whether you had revealed it or you kept it in the knowledge with you, with the unseen, with Allah. These are the names. The attributes are, you know, way beyond. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ is an attribute. لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. These are all attributes of Allah, sifat. Many of them are in the negation. In the negation. So remember, the attributes are way more than the names. Names are limited. Attributes are either affirming or negating. And the Quran is full of that. That Allah, you know, that doesn't happen to Allah. That doesn't happen to Allah. No slumber, no slumberness, no sleep. وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. No fatigue. And the list goes on. The list goes on. So I was tricking you by asking you. I knew you were going to calculate 99 minus 7 thinking you're good at math. But you lost the actual point, which is the attributes are way more. And we cannot limit them. Unless you want to count them in the Quran. Allahu A'lam. That's another discussion. And in the Sunnah. طيب جميل. والأشعرية we mentioned. Now, كل هؤلاء يشملهم اسم التعطيل. So now we have three groups under the title or the category of denial. The Jahmites, the Mu'tazilites, and the Ash'arites. Right or wrong? You have to remember them. I will question you inshallah next week. And I need answers. If you don't have a notebook, you're in trouble. Unless your memory is very good. I will repeat, under the category of those who deny, Ahlul Ta'til, called Ta'til, are the
Jahmites,
Mu'tazilites, Ash'arites, right? Or if you want them in Arabic, Al-Jahmiyyah, Al-Mu'tazila, Al-Ash'a'ira. Al-Ash'a'ira. Or Al-Ash'ariyyah. Both are used for them. كلها, we mentioned that. لكن بعضهم معطل تعطيلا كاملا كالجهمية وبعضهم تعطيلا نسبيا مثل المعتزلة والأشاعرة. Now some of them have complete denial, like we mentioned, like who? Like the Jahmites. And some of them have partial denial, like the أشاعرة and the معتزلites. The أشعرites and the معتزلites. Now this is one category. This is one extreme. One radical extreme misunderstanding. The other one is Ahlul Tamthil Al-Mushabbiha. Those who liken Allah to His creation, those who give Allah human qualities. فَيُثْبِتُونَ لِلَّهِ الصِّفَاتِ. Now they affirm Allah's attributes. وَيَقُلُونَ يَجِبُ أَن نُثْبِتَ لِلَّهِ الصِّفَاتِ. They say you should affirm Allah's attributes. That sounds good in the beginning, but wait until they continue. لِأَنَّهُ أَثْبَتَهَا لِنَفْسِهِ, because He affirmed it to Himself. لكن يقولون إنها مثل صفات المخلوقين. However, they say that it is like the attributes of the creation. They say that Allah's attributes is like the attributes of the creation. And this is impossible. Why? Now we know that we share the names of some of Allah's qualities, don't we? Who can mention one? What's a quality that human beings have and Allah has?
Thinking.
Oh. No, we wouldn't say that. We cannot affirm that. We cannot say Allah thinks. Because now that's... We need a dalil. We need a dalil about tafkir. And we don't have such a thing. So that's a no-no. Seeing and hearing. Now, did Allah describe the insan as being sami'an basira? In which surah? Don't give us answers. So what surah? Wallah, we're doing bad. If I were to ask about some football match, maybe I'll get more answers, man. Now this is correct, but I want an ayah where Allah gave the human being the same way He gave it to Himself. Because of Wallahu sami'un Basir. So Allah sami'a, inna Allah sami'an basira. Did He give it in the same kind of morphology in English, in Arabic? I'm sorry.
Surah
Al-Insan. Do you remember Surah Al-Insan? Who knows the ayah? فَجَعَلْنَاهُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. We made him سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. And Allah said that he is سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. So, how do you deal with that? Now, this is going to come. But let's see what you guys know. If someone brought this doubt to you, say, listen, you're sitting there, you know, running your mouth, saying that, you know, you don't like in Allah to his creation, blah, blah, blah. And here you are. Now, how do you do that? So we're right. We're right. Allah said that he is all hearing, all seeing, and so is the insan.
Because Allah mentioned Quran, this
accommodation. That's not broken. That's one silencing answer. There's nothing like Allah. Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like unto him. So whatever he affirmed to us cannot be like his. Because there's nothing like him. And we are not like him. So if we are not like him in essence, then our qualities are not like him as well. Our life, hayat. Do we have hayat? Does Allah have hayat? Is our hayat eternal? Did you always exist? Or were you brought into existence? You were brought into existence. Allah's hayat is not like that. Knowledge. Do you have knowledge? Allah has knowledge. But our knowledge was first given to us. It's not something that we have made on our own. It had a beginning and it will have an end. Allah's knowledge was everlasting. It doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an end. Seeing, you can see. But if you put your hand in front of your face, you can't see anymore. You can't see what's beyond this door. Allah sees everything, everywhere at the same time. Hearing, same thing. So even though we share the name, the essence is not the same. The essence is not the same. The fact that ours is given to us, not created by us, is the main difference. Allah's is eternal. Ours is a faculty provided to us, and it will be taken away. Or Allah may take it away whenever He wants. So this is how we understand this. Don't get things confused. فَهَؤُلَاءِ غَلَوْا فِي الْإِثْبَاتِ وَأَهْلُ التَّعْطِيلِ غَلَوْا فِي التَّنْزِيهِ. So what is the problem with them? The first, these ones, the مُشَبِّهَا, they went to extreme, they exaggerated affirming Allah's attributes. Whereas the people of denial, جَهْمَائِتْ, مُعْتَزِلَائِتْ, أَشْعَرَائِتْ, they went to extremes and they exaggerated trying to what? Trying to negate Allah's imperfection to Allah. Their intention was, we're trying to say that Allah is not like us. And that made them go to the point that they say in denying Allah's names and Allah's attributes, trying to what? Trying to deny or negate any imperfection which they attribute to Allah. But they wind up attributing to Him the most imperfection, which is what? A God that doesn't have names or attributes. What are you worshipping? You don't have a God anymore. That's why the scholars say this is, you know, a good definition of adab. A good definition of something that is non-existent is the way these people describe Allah. You cannot affirm attributes, you cannot affirm names. So what do you have? You don't have anything anymore. You don't have anything anymore. Allah musta'an. فَهَؤُلَاءِ قَالُوا يَجِبُ عَلَيْكَ أَن تُثْبِتَ لِلَّهِ وَجْهًا وَهَذَا الْوَجْهُ مِثْلُ وَجْهِ أَحْسَنِ وَاحِدٍ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ. أعوذ بالله. Those people مُشَبِّهَا, they say, it is compulsory on you to affirm Allah having a face. But look at the continuation. And this face is like the most beautiful face of the children of Adam. The face of Allah is like the most handsome face among the children of Adam. لأن الله خاطبنا بما نعقل ونفهم. They say, why? Because Allah spoke to us, you know, in language which we understand. And when you say wajh, face, the only thing we understand is a face. So then Allah must be like that. You see how they got to this deviant understanding? وَقَالَ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامُ. Surah Ar-Rahman. Right? Is it at the end or in the middle? There are two ayat that confuse. تَبَارَكَ اسْمُ رَبِّكَ ذِي الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And in the middle of the surah, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا
فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. It comes twice with different grammatical position and different meaning as well. But it occurs twice in Surah Al-Rahman. You need to memorize at least one. At least the one we're dealing with. Surah Al-Rahman, Ayah 27. And the face of your Lord, full of majesty and honor, shall remain. وَلَا نَعْقِلُ وَلَا نَفَمْ مِنَ الْوَجْهِ إِلَّا مَا نُشَاهِدُ وَأَحْسَنْ مَا نُشَاهِدُ لِسَانٍ. They say the only thing we understand when you use the word face is something which we have seen and comprehend. And among the best faces we have seen is the face of the human being. So they looked at animals and, you know, other things. They said the best face is the face of a human being. So then Allah's face must be like the best face among the children of Adam. That's like who? Like who? Like the Christians. Like the Catholic Christians. You go to their churches, in some of their churches, they have a picture of God. Not even Jesus. Jesus is already in, it's a given, because they say He's the Son of God and they have an idea of what He looks. Even the Father, to them, they have a picture of Him. What does He look like? He looks like someone who goes to the gym every day. He's buff, muscular, and ironically he goes around without a shirt. This is their God. And we're not speaking about Allah, Tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is their false idol which they worship. He's muscular, no shirt, beard, you know, old man. He's an old man. And they have him riding chirps. You know what these are? Little naked angels. Girl, female angels with full body parts. The whole thing. With the front and the back. Naked. Well, they put some wings on them. And they have images in their church of God riding on these angels, going around, flying around. That's Christian concept. That's crazy stuff, man. Crazy. But that's Christianity for you. The Catholics in particular. Now you go through born again Christians and other denominations, they may not agree with that. In fact, you go to a born again church and you will not find an idol. You will not find any statues. You'll find crosses, but you will not find any statues. The Catholics, these are the ones that are, you know, bent on you know, saints and all the Mary and Jesus and the whole nine yards. But the important point is that once we go there, then we are like the Christians now. Because they write, you know, they think of a handsome man and then they draw and they say this is God. You know? Big problem. طيب. فهو على زعمهم والعياذ بالله على مثل أحسن واحد من الشباب الإنسان. So according to the claim and we seek Allah's refuge, then Allah is in the shape or in the likeness of the most beautiful of the children of Adam. ويدعون أن هذا هو المعقول معقول. And they claim that this is what, you know, this is what is reasonable. This is what is logical. This is what is rational. And wallahi it is not. And the biggest evidence is your facial expressions. You're just not liking it, right? That's the alhamdulillah. That means your fitrah is still sound. If you like what was mentioned earlier, you know, you need to check yourself. وَمَا لِسُنَّةِ الْجَمَاعَةِ فَقَالُوا نَحْنُ نَأْخُذُ بِالْحَقِّ الَّذِي مَعَ الْجَانِبَيْنِ فَنَأْخُذُ بِالْحَقِّ فِي بَابِ التَّنْزِيهِ فَلَا نُمَثِّلْ وَنَأْخُذُ بِالْحَقِّ فِي جَانِبِ الْإِثْبَاتِ فَلَا نُعَطِّلْ. Beautiful. As for us, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we ask Allah to make us among them and die among them, or die on that belief system. We take the truth which is kind of lost between both. The truth which has been lost between both. We take the truth in terms of tanzeeh, negating Allah's imperfection. We don't believe Allah has any imperfections, but we don't liken Allah to His creation. And on the other hand, we take with the truth concerning affirming Allah's qualities, but we don't deny. But we don't deny. Now listen to this nice, you know, way to put it. بل إثبات بلا تمثيل وتنزيه بلا تعطيل. We affirm without likening, and we negate Allah's imperfection without denying. Okay? So when it comes to the face, what do we say? Who can give us the definition of the face of Allah according to Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah? The face of Allah. Does Allah have a face?
Yes.
Why?
Allah said
it's in the Quran. The Quran is in what language?
Arabic.
Arabic. Did the Arabs back then understand what wajh meant? They did. They did. So, are there subliminal meanings in the Quran? No. Assuming the word wajh in the ayah, وَيَبْقَ وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, assuming it meant something else, as they claim. They say it means Allah's bounty or Allah's, you know, whatever. They give it other interpretations. Don't you think the Prophet ﷺ would have made that clear to the Sahaba? Wouldn't he have said to Sahaba, be careful now. Don't think what Allah said wajh, he means wajh. What Allah means is honor. Don't you think this would have happened once in the whole 23 years period of his prophethood alayhi salatu salam, that once someone will ask him, not even once, regarding any of Allah's names and attributes, not even once did the Sahabi ask a single question. Nor did he ever give him any other interpretation other than what the Quran explicitly expressed. What does that tell you? This is what they understood. They believed that there's nothing like Allah. So when we say Allah has a face, I don't have any images. Why? Because there's nothing like Allah. I've never seen anything like Him. If I have never seen anything like Him, on what basis am I going to create an image? If I say, have you seen this Salulu? What the heck is this Salulu, man? You know, imagine. Okay, I say, you imagine. Now here in this room, each one of you will be thinking about something totally different. Maybe someone will be thinking of a phone, someone will be thinking of a house, airplane. Can we limit what you think? No, why? You've never seen a Salulu. Right or wrong? But if I said, have you seen the Nokia N71, assuming, and you have Nokia N70, what will you do? You will start to visualize and imagine the new Nokia according to the image which you have pre-existing. Say, oh, well, you know, maybe it's bigger screen, more buttons, whatever. When you have a pre-existing image, you can build on it. When you don't have an image, then your imagination is in vain. You will not get anywhere. And after years and years of imagining, guess what? You will be wrong. You will be wrong, for sure. So this is very fundamental. When there's nothing like Allah, you haven't seen anything like Allah, so on what basis are you imagining? When Allah has a face, what kind of face will you be thinking of? Human being? Why? Other than that, why? On what basis? Have you seen anything like Allah? No. So then your imagination is false. And you may wind up imagining something about Allah which doesn't befit His majesty. So you need to stop. But you need to believe. Don't do like the other one. Say, okay, then it means that Allah doesn't have a face. Ya akhi, it's in the Quran. Give us a solution. We need a solution. You know, it's in the Quran. What's the solution? The way we explain it. We believe that there's nothing like Allah, so we don't have an issue. Yeah, how? Allah, inshallah, if I enter Jannah, I will find out. What is Allah's face like? Go to Jannah and you will figure it out. Today, don't worry about it. You can't imagine it. But don't deny the Quran. Do not deny the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said to the Sahaba, when he spoke about the Dajjal, what did he say about the Dajjal? إِنَّهُ أَعْوَرُ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَيْسَ بِأَعْوَرُ He said, the Dajjal is one-eyed and your Lord is not one-eyed. He's not. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. He's describing, he's telling them, you know, the Dajjal is one-eyed, Allah Azza wa Jal is not one-eyed. Now we know from the Quran that Allah has eyes. But how? Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam. But now how can you interpret the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ? If they didn't say, if he said the Dajjal is one-eyed and your Lord is not one-eyed, how else can you interpret the eye? What else can he mean? What is the subliminal message? It doesn't make sense. If they say that the eye meant anything besides eye, then that will in fact say that Prophet ﷺ is saying nonsense, because it wouldn't make any sense. He's telling them the Dajjal is one-eyed and your Lord is not. How do you know that the Dajjal is fake? Your Lord is not one-eyed. He's not. So the only possible meaning is what? That I is an I. Now what kind of I? Allahu A'lam. But the only possible meaning is what? I. So then, if you deny it, you're in trouble. You're saying, the Prophet ﷺ was saying something that doesn't make sense. The Sahaba didn't, you know, ask him why? Because they accepted it face value. مَرُّوهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ Let it go as it came. Don't dwell into philosophical understandings of issues which Allah did not expect us to understand, or He did not reveal it to us. He left it at that, then we leave it at that. That's the way to go to Jannah. طيب نحن نثبت ولكن بدون تمثيل. So we affirm but without likening. فنأخذ بالأدلة من هنا ومن هنا. We take the evidences from both parties. والخلاصة, what is the summary then? هم وسط في باب الصفات بين طائفتين متطرفتين. Then we, أهل السنة الجماعة, are in a mid-balanced position between two extreme radical sects. طائفة غلط في التنزيه والنفي, as a group of them which went to extremes and exaggerated in negating imperfection to Allah and denying. وهم أهل التعطيل من الجهمية وغيرهم, and these are among the Jahmites and others. وطائفة غلط في الإثبات وهم ممثلة, and a group which went to extremes in affirming, and these are those who liken Allah to His creation. The Shaykh repeats often so the information will kind of sink in, right? So we will remember this. وأهل السنة والجماعة يقولون لا تغلو في الإثبات ولا في النفي. We say, أهل السنة والجماعة, they say, do not go to extreme in affirming Allah's qualities until you make them like the creation, and do not go to extremes in negating until you negate Allah's names and attributes. ونثبت بدون تمثيل, rather we affirm without likening, لقوله تعالى ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير, سورة الشورى آية 11. There is nothing like unto him, and he is the all hearing, the all seeing. Now this is the first, this is in the chapter of what? The names and attributes of Allah. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are between two extremes. Jahmites, Mu'tazilites, Ash'arites, who deny. Tamthil, who affirm. We are in between concerning Allah's names and attributes. But that's not the only part of Aqidah. That's not the only part of Aqidah. Another part of Aqidah is that of decree. Qadr. You know Qadr? There's a difference between Qadr and Qadr. By the way, Qaf, Dal, Ra, with a fatha on the da, is Qadr, pre-decree. Qadr, Qadr may be someone's status. Qadruhu azim, meaning his status is great. Now we will see the technicalities perhaps later on, but just so you know, there are more than one, you know, variations of that same word, and the meaning will change accordingly. It's not all one meaning. على كل حال, الأصل الثاني أفعال الله concerning Allah's actions. قال المؤلف رحمه الله وهم وسط في باب أفعال الله بين الجبرية والقدرية. We are, أهل السنة والجماعة are in a balanced position concerning Allah's actions between الجبرية and القدرية. Let's see if somebody can convert Jabariya to English. Jabarite, I like. Convert Qadariya to English. Qadarite. Alas, I think everybody got it. Fine. We are actually between. Now you are the Jabariya from Jabir. They say that everyone here and there and everywhere is compelled, is forced to do what he's doing. Meaning now when you blinked your eye, you didn't have a choice. Allah had forced you to do that. These are the Jabariya. Meaning you don't have a free will. You are like a puppet. You know the puppet? You're being with the strings. You're being moved around by Allah's will. And this is crazy. Because basically that means that Allah will create you, give you no will, force you to live the life of an evil person and throw you in Jahannam and burn you for that. That's what it means. When you don't have a free will, you got no choice in everything. Allah is compelling you, is imposing on you His decree. That means that He will create people, let them live the life of evil people, then throw them in Jahannam. No choice that they have. You see how wicked that belief system is? These are opposed with the other ones. They are at odds with who? The Qadariya. Those who say that there's no such thing as decree of Allah. You do things, then Allah finds out. You do things, then Allah will find out that that thing happened. He did not decree it to take place. Do you believe that? This is what's out there. Alhamdulillah for Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. قسمٌ the Shaykh says في باب القدر انقسم الناس إلى ثلاثة أقسام. Now in the chapter on preordainment, there are many English words by the way for Qadr, qadr. There's preordainment, pre-decree, predestiny, destiny. In other words, you know, maybe 4 to 5 popular English words. All of them kind of, you know, allude to the same meaning. قِسْمٌ آمَنُوا بِقَدَرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَغَلَوْا فِي إِثْبَاتِهِ. There are three categories concerning Allah's qadr. A group of them who believe in Allah's decree, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, He's the Almighty, the Sublime, and they go to extreme in affirming it. حَتَّى سَلَبُوا الْإِنسَانَ قُدْرَتَهُ وَاخْتِيَارَهُ. Until they took away from the human being, they deprived the human being his ability and his choices. They left him with nothing. وَقَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَاعِلُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. They say Allah is the one who does everything. Allah is the one who does everything. وَلَيْسَ لِلْعَبْدِ اِخْتِيَارُ وَلَا قُدْرَةٍ. The slave has no choice and no will or power. No ability to do anything. You have no choice. وَإِنَّمَا يَفْعَلُ الْفِعْلَ مُجْبَرًا عَلَيْهِ. You do what you do because you are forced to do it. بَلْ إِنَّ بَعْضَهُمْ ادَّعَ أَنَّ فِعْلَ الْعَبْدِ هُوَ فِعْلَ اللَّهِ. Some of them went to extreme and said that the very action of yours is not yours, it's Allah. The very action which you do is actually Allah doing the action, not even you yourself. وَلِهَذَا دَخَلَ مِنْ بَابِهِمْ أَهْلُ الْإِتِحَادِ وَالْحُلُولِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ هُمُ الْجَبَرِيَّةِ. And included in that are two hardcore Sufi belief systems. If you came to the lecture at the IMC about Sufism, we mentioned that the Sufis have, in terms of their Aqidah, they're divided into three main categories. The Illuminists, those who say that, you know, that we are made of light, and, you know, for you to reach, you know, the level of whatever, you need to purify yourself, and the way you do that is by humiliating yourself. How do you do that? If you feel you're getting a little arrogant, according to the Sufi, if you start thinking you're someone special, you go, for example, to a public shower, you know, and you steal someone's towels. And then you let the people see you, so they may run after you and beat you up. That's what they used to do. And they say, now I'm kind of, you know, leveling myself. He's remembering his, you know, lowly status. So if he feels he's getting high, he gets himself humiliated in order for him to, you know, maintain the zuhd and the asceticism. A very wicked approach. Now, not all of them are like that. We're just saying this is some among the extremes. But this is the idea of the Sufis, the Illuminists. The other ones are Ahlul Ittihad wal Hulul. Two different ones. Ittihad, the unity of existence. They say that the whole creation is really one entity. Allah and the creation are one entity. Meaning everyone is Allah, Allah is everyone, everything is Allah, and Allah is everything. There's no parting between them. There's no division of creator, creation. Everything is Allah, and Allah is in everything. Just very odd belief system. Ahlul Hulul, those who say that Allah will come into the pantheism, those who say that Allah will become manifest in some of His creation. Like the who? Like Christians who say that, you know, Jesus is God incarnate. And the Hindus who believe that they're Vishnu and Shiva and some of the private parts which they worship, in case you didn't know, among the Hindus, they have two very popular private parts, Ines and Aina, which they go do Hajj for. Imagine a huge statue in the form of a male and female private parts, and people go do Hajj to them. And these are some of their gods, along with the rats and the monkeys and the cockroaches and everything which comes along the line that seems to be a little, you know, funky. They will also add them to the list of million gods which the Hindus worship. And they say that everything is, these many God manifests in these creation. So these are the Hulul. And the Jabariya are, you know, they very much agree with these two groups in terms of their belief system. والقسم الثاني, the second group, قالوا إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ مُسْتَقِلٌ بِفِعْلِهِ. You are independent in your actions. You are independent. The slave is independent in his actions. وَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ فِيهِ مَشِيئَةٌ وَلَا تَقْدِيرٌ. Allah has no part in it. He doesn't will anything, nor does He decree anything. You're doing things on your own. You're doing things on your own. حَتَّى غَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْلَمُ فِعْلَ الْعَبْدِ إِلَّا إِذَا فَعَلُهُ. Some of them went to extremes. As I mentioned to you earlier, they said Allah does not know the action of a slave until he does it. after the slave does it, then Allah gets to find out. أما قبل فلا يعلم عنه شيء. Before that, Allah doesn't know anything of that. وهؤلاء هم القدرية مجوس هذه الأمة. These are the Qadariyya, the Magians of this Ummah. Al-Majus have a couple of names in English. One of them is a little complicated, not very interesting to pronounce, so I will skip it. But the other popular name is Magians, the Majus. So they are considered the Majus of this Ummah because the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ spoke about them and he warned against them, as we will see in the narrations inshallah in the future. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ فَالْأَوَّلُونَ غَلَوْا فِي إِثْبَاتِ أَفْعَالِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْرِهِ وَقَدَرِهِ. The first, they exaggerated in affirming Allah's actions and His decree. وَقَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يُجْبِرُ الْإِنسَانَ عَلَى فِعْلِهِ وَلَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اخْتِيَارِ. They say Allah forces the human beings to do the actions they do, and we have no choice in them. We don't have any choice to make whatsoever. وَالْآخَرُونَ غَلَوْا فِي إِثْبَاتِ قُدْرَةِ الْعَبْدِ. The others, they went to extremes and exaggerated in affirming the ability or the will of the slave himself. وَقَالُوا إِنَّ الْقُدْرَ الْإِلَهِيَّ وَالْمَشِيَةَ الْإِلَهِيَّ لَا عَلَاقَةَ لَهَا فِي الْعَبْدِ فِي فِعْلِ الْعَبْدِ فَهُوَ الْفَاعِلَ الْمُطْلَقَ الْإِخْتِيَارِ. They say the divine will and the divine ability and the divine will, or the other words that can be used, has no relation with the actions of the slave. What Allah had decreed, what Allah had willed, Allah's wish, they say it has no relation with the actions of the slave. You have the ultimate unrestricted choice to do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. It has nothing to do with Allah's decree. And what do we say? وَالْقِسْمُ الثَّالِثُ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. The third group are the أهل السنة والجماعة. قالوا, we say, they say, نَحْنُ نَأْخُذُ بِالْحَقِّ الَّذِي مَعَ الْجَانِبَيْنِ. We take the truth which is between both parties. فَنَقُولْ إِنَّ فِعْلَ الْعَبْدِ وَاقِعٌ بِمَشِيئَةِ اللَّهِ وَخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. The action of the slave shall take place by Allah's will and Allah's creation. The action which you do is occurring by the will of Allah and the creation of Allah. وَلَا يُمْكِنْ أَن يَكُونَ فِي مُلْكِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَشَاءُهُ أَبَدًا. It is impossible that anything will take place in Allah's creation which He didn't will. No one can do anything which Allah didn't will. Who can give us an evidence from the Quran besides you, Naif? It comes in many ayat, ya Shabab. The words are very, very similar. You do not will until Allah wills. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. بعدين, I have to always say in the beginning, it's actually in how many surah in the Quran? This comes very often. And you do not will until Allah wills. يعني Allah, you cannot have a will even unless Allah wills for you to have a will. But then what did Allah affirm in the ayah? وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ. You don't will. He gave us a will. He gave us a will and gave Himself a will. And our will is conditional to His will. He has to will first. When He wills, then you have a will. Not that the others say Allah has no will or you have all the will. The ayah, by the way, refutes, as the ulama say, both deviant sects. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. In the other ayah, Surah Al-Kahf, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Say, this is the truth from your Lord. So whoever wills, let him believe. And whoever wills, let him disbelieve. Allah gave us the will. You want to believe, you can believe. You want to disbelieve, you can also disbelieve. You will be held accountable. But what did Allah affirm? The will for the creation. So the Quran refutes them. The Quran refutes him clearly. But subhanAllah, if Allah doesn't guide someone, no one can guide him. وَالْإِنسَانُ لَهُ اخْتِيَارُ وَإِرَادَ. And we also have a will. We have choices that we actually make. وَيُفَرَّقُ بَيْنَ الْفِعْلِ الَّذِي يُطَرُّ إِلَيْهِ وَالْفِعْلِ الَّذِي يَخْتَارُ. But we make a distinction between a deed, between an action which you are compelled to do, you are forced to do, and a deed which you do willingly. فَأَفْعَالُ الْعِبَادِ بِاخْتِيَارِهِمْ وَإِرَادَتِهِمْ. The deeds which you do are by your will, by your own choice. If you will, you can raise your hand. If you don't, you can keep it down. Now, if I will to raise my hand, and Allah didn't will, can't do it. You can't do it, it will freeze. But Allah wills these things, He allows them to happen. Right? Otherwise, Allah, if He willed, you can't do anything. But don't you have the will? Did anyone force me to move my hand? Do you ever feel that you're being forced to blink your eyes, or you're being forced to say anything? You say things on your own. Everybody has been given a free will. ومع ذلك فهي واقعة بمشيئة الله وخلقه. Still, this happens according to Allah's will and Allah's creation. لكن سيبقى عندنا إشكال. كيف تكون خلقا لله وهي فعل إنسان؟ But how can we say that the actions you do are Allah's creation, are the creation of Allah, but you, it's your own action? How can we say that your actions are created by Allah, even though you are doing the actions? Now, the Shaykh didn't give the ayah, but there's an ayah in the book of Allah which clearly answers this question. There's an evidence from the Quran. Everything you see, this movement, it's created by Allah. My speech is created by, everything we're doing is created by Allah. It's Allah's creation. We're doing it, but Allah created that action. What's the evidence for that from the Quran? Surah As-Saffat. In the context of Ibrahim with his people. Does anyone have these ayat memorized? No? طيب. So what, are you going to give us the English? You raise your hand, you can tell me that you don't remember the ayah? You confuse me. So you have it or you don't? But you don't remember the ayah? Okay, I'll give you the first words. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Ibrahim, he spoke to his people, said, you know, you worship in these idols, you worship in these false gods, even though Allah created you and everything which you do. He didn't say, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ. Allah created you and even the things you're worshipping. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. What is amal? Deeds, actions which you do. Allah created you and all of your actions are Allah's creation. But how do we understand it logically? وَالْجَوَابُ أَنَّ أَفْعَالَ الْعَبْدِ صَدَرَتْ بِإِرَادَةٍ وَقُدْرَةٍ. How do you understand it? That the actions which you do are based on what? Ability and will. Who created the will and ability? Allah. So then the action becomes Allah's creation, because Allah gave you the will, He created the will, and He created the ability. And with these two you're able to do actions. وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ فِيهِ الْإِرَادَةِ وَالْقُدْرَةِ هُوَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَسَلَبَكَ الْقُدْرَةِ فَلَمْ تَسْتَطِعِ. If Allah willed, He will deprive you of the ability, you will be unable to do it. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدًا قَادِرًا لَمْ يَرُدَّ فِعْلًا لَمْ يَقَعَ الْفِعْلَ مِنْهُ. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدًا قَادِرًا لَمْ يُرِدْ فِعْلًا لَمْ يَقَعَ الْفِعْلَ مِنْهُ. If someone willed and he didn't want an action, he wouldn't do the action. I don't want to do anything, you don't do it. كُلُّ إِنسَانٍ قَادِرٌ يَفْعَلُ الْفِعْلِ فَإِنَّهُ بِإِرَادَتِهِ اللَّهُمَّ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرَى. Everyone who does something usually does it willingly, unless in some circumstances where you are forced. Somebody put a gun to your head and say, you know, do something, then you're doing it unwillingly. Otherwise, everything is done willingly. فَنَحْنُ نَفْعَلُ بِاخْتِيَارِنَا وَقُدْرَتِنَا وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ فِينَا الْاخْتِيَارُ وَالْقُدْرَةُ هُوَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. We do things according to our choices and ability, and the one who created the choice and the ability is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, that actually concludes this part. We didn't deal with the Qadariyah. This mentions that. Now, I usually among the major misconceptions about Islam, or actually a misconception among the Muslims, is this idea. Because you have people say, "Akhi, if Allah gave us the free will, if Allah gave us the free will, if Allah pre-decreed everything, then how come some people go to Jannah and some people go to Jahannam? If Allah gave it..." Now I explained to you that there's our will and the will of Allah, but some people still don't understand. They still say that's not fair. That's not fair. That Allah already decreed what I will do, and then He will punish me for the choices I will make, you know?
So maybe already, does Allah have everything predestined now? Yes. Each one of us here, Allah knows his place in Jannah or Jahannam. So some will say, what's the point of working? If Allah had pre-decreed that I'm going to Jahannam, what am I doing good deeds for? And that's not fair. Now I want you to think about this until next Saturday. If you come up with something, barakallah feek. If not, inshallah, next Saturday I will give you a practical worldly example, which if you understand correctly, you will never have an issue with this anymore. You'll be able to understand how come even though Allah had pre-decreed everything, that doesn't mean that you can depend on anything, and that doesn't mean that you're being oppressed at all. Okay, I have, alhamdulillah, I came up with my own homemade example, which I believe is effective. Allahu alam. If you don't find it effective, you can throw it away. But I want you to think of something on your own. If a Christian or a Hindu asked you, you know, how come you say God preordained everything, and then, you know, what's the point of paradise and hell? Why doesn't just God put everyone who's supposed to go to heaven in heaven, and everyone who's supposed to go to hell in hell, because He preordained it? Why the whole, you know, suffering in the world? How would you answer that? Think of a good example, inshallah, or a good answer. And if you don't come up with one, then I will give you one of my own. But that we will do next week. While we also will deal with the Murji'a and the issue of who will go to Jahannam eternally and who will not. Very also fundamental principle in Islam. But until then, we say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, shadu la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.